Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Bob Malley, chief security officer at Black Kite, the only security rating system that gives a complete view of cyber risk across three dimensions: technical, financial, and compliance. To learn more about Black Kite, visit blackkitetech.com. Bob, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Good to be here.
So, Bob, before we dive in, tell us a little bit about your background. You've held positions in security leadership at PayPal. You were the CISO at the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Fill in the blanks.
There's a lot of blanks, so I won't fill them all in. But I've been doing physical security or information security for decades. I started out in law enforcement. I was a policeman. I was 2 years old when I became a policeman, so it was a long time ago. First CISO at the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, spent 5 years there. And then PayPal, I moved out west into the Phoenix area, did some consulting for a bank, and then wound up at PayPal and built their third-party risk management program.
Interesting. So what attracted you to Black Kite? I mean, with your experience switching over to the vendor community, you would have been attractive to so many different companies.
Yeah, so at PayPal, risk became something that was a passion, and how to talk about risk to senior management. And it was very challenging. Cybersecurity risk typically is talked about in colors: high, medium, low, red, green, orange, yellow, those types of things. And I think that it just misses a lot of value when you're trying to talk to the board and talk to the business. And after I left PayPal, I started writing a book and I started researching better ways to discuss risk. And I got introduced to something called FAIR, the Factor Analysis of Information Risk. I figured, well, let's read some books about it. I went out and got trained, I got certified, and I started performing some FAIR analysis. And I thought, wow, this is something really needed in cybersecurity, but even more so in third party. And so I started looking in the security rating services quadrant because at PayPal, I had access to two different vendors of those platforms. And the scores that they were providing really weren't all that useful, especially for the money that we were paying. And I looked at, well, there's a lot of data that they're collecting. And I saw a connection to the FAIR methodology and that data. And I thought, well, if there's a way that you could scale that, if you could take that to 500 or 1,000 third parties and do it easily, that would be something really, really cool. So I interviewed with a couple different companies that were in this quadrant. And I talked to the CTO of Black Kite, Jonathan Bulukbas. And he just got excited because he had been thinking the same thing. And he was researching FAIR. And he took up the challenge to be able to develop the platform to automate that entire process. And that's really the reason why I decided to move into the vendor space and work with Black Kite, because of that innovation, of that whole idea of innovation in this space.
So we're here to talk about security ratings today. And surprisingly, there's a large number of cybersecurity professionals who are either entirely unfamiliar or maybe just have a vague idea of exactly what security ratings are. So help us out. We know that credit ratings and FICO scores provide a quantitative measure of credit risk. Do security ratings attempt to provide the same for cyber risk?
Well, there's also a large number of people in cybersecurity that hate security rating services. Just being open with you, it's the way it is. And I got to be honest, I don't blame them. I hated them as well. And, I look at the space, and the space is around, well, what's your score? What's your cyber rating score, like a credit score? And that it's sold as, well, that's an actionable item, that if you get a score, then you can take action with your vendor, or you can take action with how you're going to deploy controls, or how you're going to deploy staff. And in reality, that could be nothing but further from the truth, because there's no context. You think about your credit score. So you know what your credit score is. I think a lot of people do. I know what mine is. But does that credit score in and of itself, when a lender is looking at you, do they automatically say, oh, I have the credit score, I'm going to loan them money? No, it's a little bit more complicated. They use that information in what they loan you. So that it might be the limit of the loan, how much they loan you. There's other factors that are brought in other than that credit score, your income. And depending upon the results of all that analysis, you'll get a loan offer that might have a higher interest rate or better terms, depending upon all that analysis. And that's the challenge I see in the security rating services today, is that it's pitched as it is the answer to your problems with your vendors, the same way a credit score is. Couldn't be further from the truth.
So if a company looks at themselves internally, forgetting about how anybody externally looks at them, in theory, if they have a high security rating, would you say that they have a strong security posture? And exactly how would you describe a posture?
Well, the cyber, it's, I guess cyber hygiene is a good way, cyber posture. They're good indicators. So you take a recent breach, SolarWinds, for instance. They're a large company. They have a large digital footprint, and their cyber rating was average. But for companies of that size, that's normal to have an average posture. If you were looking at them from a compliance perspective, amazing. Out on their compliance page, they have ISO, they have their SOC 2, they have all the processes they go through. And that alone wasn't enough to try to give you an indicator that there may have been a problem there, because the cyber hygiene over a period of time, if it remains consistent, people think, oh, well, nothing's happened, so it's consistent. And they kind of, I heard a gentleman that I know that is involved with some of the follow-up with some companies that fell prey to that SolarWinds was rated as a medium risk vendor. And obviously we know now that wasn't the case. So the impact is tremendous. So just because there's a cyber hygiene score doesn't mean anything, because that can change so rapidly. You think about how you look at things. If you're looking at, are you compliant, all those things that I just mentioned, that's great. That's a good starting point, but that's not what bad actors are looking for. Bad actors are looking for unique ways to get in, things that may not show up in those types of things. That essentially, if you're not looking for the bad actors, they're good, because they'll come in because you're average. A lot of companies have average scores.
So two questions here. Who looks at security ratings, and who should be looking at security ratings? And I hope those two are the same. Maybe they're not. You'll tell us. But are we talking about boardroom executives, CEO, C-suite executives, chief information security officers? Who?
Well, I think once you get to obviously the CISO, if that is in their wheelhouse, I know third-party risk management over the years, nobody seems to want to own that when it comes to cyber, because it's complicated. There are so many more things to third-party risk management than just cyber. So the cyber component, well, the CISO is his organization should be technically fluent enough to understand some of those risks. But where that breaks down is when they take that cyber hygiene and they elevate that to the board or senior management. The board or senior management doesn't care if you're an A, a B, or a C, or a 650, a 770. The board doesn't care about that. The board wants to know, well, in business terms, tell me about the risk in business terms, which is essentially financial impact. What's the probable potential financial impact to our organization from our specific use of this vendor? And that's one of the biggest failings in the security rating services, is that they have the inability to translate that cyber score into something that's business savvy for the board.
So I'm curious about cyber insurance providers. Would an underwriter potentially look at a score, and would that have any impact on a policy?
Absolutely. It depends on the quality of the score. I again, in this industry, there's a document that was brought out by the American Chamber of Commerce. I think it was 2017 or 2018. It is the Security Rating Services Industry Guidelines. And one of the things that they say in there is accuracy is extremely important. And one of the biggest things that CISOs hate about SRS in the past is accuracy, false positives, those types of things. And what I've seen in the industry over the last 2 years is we see people going, well, we are accurate. We've got had a third party come in and audit our data, and we are 99.2% accurate. And I go, oh, okay, well, what does that really mean? And when you look at what they're saying they're accurate about, they've typically reduced the footprint that they're looking at. Because the larger the digital footprint of a vendor, the more complicated it is and the more potential for false positives and negative results as well. So they'll reduce the control set that they're testing against, that outside view in. They'll reduce it to a limited number of controls. For instance, Black Kite, we look at, I think it's a little bit over 290 individual controls that we test for. And we have our platform was built on the guidelines that the Chamber of Commerce put out. And we're fairly accurate with that. We make sure that we have a lot of things behind the scenes to do that. If you look in the space, our competitor, the closest competitor with a number of controls is 78. Okay. So essentially, they've reduced what they're looking at to say that they are highly accurate. So if you're basing decisions on that, then from an insurance perspective, it may not be a good thing. You have to look at the bigger footprint. We have insurance companies that they use our platform to do just what you said. It's a valuable tool added into other things that they do during their underwriting process to decide what that's going to be.
So, Bob, Gartner calls security ratings one of the top 10 security projects through 2021, and that's based on interviews with CISOs. We hear a lot about, security ratings for them, although, frankly, we don't have empirical data to support that the way Gartner does. In your opinion, why is it so important? And are you hearing more and more of that from CISOs?
Well, I hear a lot of negative from CISOs.
Okay.
Because of using different platforms in the past. If I was looking at the experience I had from PayPal 3 years ago, negative experience, I wouldn't do security rating services unless I was made to. And I think that's what's happening right now is because of a lot of regulatory requirements. A couple years ago, financial institutions, the OCC, continuous monitoring. Of cyber was a requirement. You had to do that in some fashion instead of that point in time assessment. Security ratings filled a great compliance check mark. Yes, we are continuously monitoring. But once you start doing that and you start realizing the challenges and the churn it brings up and the false positives and the unreliability, I think a lot of CISOs remember that. And they're reluctantly going to do this because they're being required to by the boards. Now you have New York State DFS 500. It covers a much broader number of businesses that the OCC didn't cover that require continuous monitoring. All the regulations that are coming out now, Consumer Protection Act in California, you're supposed to continuously monitor your vendors, your third parties, et cetera. So, yes, it's going to be a big project because it's being pushed that it's a requirement. And what's for me and for the listeners to take away is make sure that don't do something just for that compliant check mark, because it will be painful if it's not the right solution. Find the right solution.
So you touched on the controversy around security ratings. If we set compliance aside, the idea of security ratings, why do CISOs have a bad taste in their mouth? Is it more because of the solutions they've worked with and they've had a bad experience? Or is it more the idea of, you know, a fairly significant implementation and process that they feel like they may not really need?
I think it's a combination of both. So CISOs are under a lot of pressure just to maintain the integrity of their own organizations. I mean, the environment's like I've never seen before. So they have that pressure. And now they're being asked to do something with third parties. And typically, third parties were not in their realm. If you look at shared assessments last year, they did a survey of certified third-party risk professionals. That's the certification that they issue. And what they found was that while most certified third-party risk professionals started out in the CISO organization, they've now moved out. You know, other organizations are taking over a lot of the third-party risk management stuff. But the CISOs, I don't think have ever, a lot of CISOs just have seen it as that additional burden, that new project that when, you know, if you have a typical platform that you generate a report for a vendor and you send that report to that vendor, the churn that gets created about going back and forth with the vendor about what to fix, about who's responsible, who pays for it, it just creates a tremendous amount of churn. And they already have so much on their plates just in their inside that this is another thing that, you know, it's challenging.
So I'm curious, Bob, why are there so few companies, pure play companies, companies who focus exclusively or primarily on security ratings in the cybersecurity industry? I mean, we track the market very closely, and security ratings is not brand new. It's not something that's, you know, just emerging in the past couple of years. In other spaces in our industry, we have literally, you know, dozens and sometimes 100 or more vendors who have traction. We see maybe a dozen companies that are recognizable that have any kind of traction. So you've been on the other side, you've been a CISO, you've interviewed with companies. Why are there so few of them?
Because it's difficult to start up and do it well. You just don't become a security rating services company. There is so much behind the scenes to make it valuable. It's difficult to come into a market where you have the original icebreaker. In other words, the vendor that was the first one. They've broken the ice. They have the most number of customers. And I think what's challenging is that as a startup, well, how do you differentiate yourself from that? For instance, one of the first things I noticed about Black Kite is the platform. The platform was faster, it was better, it was more accurate, it had higher quality information. Everything about the security ratings component, that cyber score in and of itself, was better than the competition. But from a CISO's perspective, if I've gone and I've asked for money to implement something, because whether I had to or I thought it was a good idea, and I've now implemented, we have process in place, we have procedure, we have staff that are dedicated to, you know, dealing with the vendors to get these things resolved. If somebody comes along that does it better, well, it's more painful for me to switch to the better alternative than it is to live with what I have. And I think that's one of the big reasons why you see the dearth of new people in the space is it's unseating the incumbent. You need to have something that is completely differentiating. Better, faster, cheaper is not enough of a differentiator in this market to allow new companies to start.
So our audience is primarily Fortune 500, Global 2000 CISOs, and then we have a lot of CISOs from mid-market companies. For anyone who's not familiar with Black Kite, can you give us the 30,000-foot view, maybe a little history on the company?
Sure. The company was started by a gentleman. He, interesting story. You should have him on here. But he was doing penetration testing work for NATO. And they were doing work with national armies. And what he found was that it was extremely difficult to do that directly, that going around through and getting into them via the third party was the way it was done. And from that, he learned a lot about how to do this and how to do this well. And him and some friends, they got together, they built a platform, and they started realizing the value of it. And that's how the company was birthed. And up until 14 or 15 months ago, it was that better, faster security rating service. But then as I talked to you about what brought me to the company, the compliance component that we do and the factor analysis of information risk was introduced as well. So we have that 3D view of those dimensions that has made it a totally different company than it was 3 years ago. But it's a tool that for, you know, small, medium, or large companies that you can take and enhance. If you have a third-party risk management program, you can enhance it. There's something we have called Unique. It's the Uniform Information Questionnaire and Policy Parser. That one of the big challenges with doing third-party risk management is you get artifacts from the third party. It's a questionnaire, it's an information security policy, it's a SOC 2, it's an ISO, whatever that artifact is. And now your analysts have to look at that and they have to, does it meet the requirements? Are there any findings in there that are important? It's very time consuming. We have a feature that allows you just to upload that. It automatically ingests that and does all that analysis for you, maps it to 14 different frameworks. So it just steps out of the security rating services and it adds that cyber hygiene score, it adds the financial impact, and it has a compliance fee as well. So that, from the high level, that's what we do.
So if you are thrust back into a CISO position at a large enterprise, would you use the Black Kite platform?
Well, I obviously I'm
a loaded question,
but absolutely yes. But one of the things that I would recommend somebody does is there's questions when you're looking at getting a platform. There's questions you can ask that can make it clearer for you. One of those is, do they follow the transparency requirement from the Chamber of Commerce guidelines? And when I say that, are they fully transparent? So, for instance, Black Kite is fully transparent. The cyber hygiene, that methodology is based on the MITRE framework, open fair. It's an open ontology, as well as all the frameworks. They're all public frameworks. And all of the calculations and the algorithms behind what we do in every stage of the platform, if you see a number and you want to drill down deeper into how that number was created or how it came to be, it's completely transparent, that entire process. If a company is transparent to a certain limit, when they get to their, well, after that, it's a proprietary algorithm. To me, that's a red flag. Yeah. Ask that. Find out how transparent are they truly. The second thing is their digital footprints that they're looking at from the vendors. Yeah. How thorough is that digital footprint? Does it really get all of the digital footprint for those companies? And larger companies have huge footprints. When we first, a very, very large tech company is our customer. When we first went through and we showed them their digital footprint, they went, oh, well, no, that's not ours. They did some research and they found out shadow IT, is your platform able to identify that accurately? That's the second thing. And the third thing is that the ability to interface with the vendor. So if you just send a report to a vendor with a list of things, that's going to create churn. Does the platform you're looking at, does it have a better way of interfacing with that vendor to make it a collaboration with them getting better? And the fourth thing is, does it have an output that allows you to talk in financial terms? So when you go to your board, you can explain why this vendor is a bad thing for your to use for your business.
So, Bob, what's involved with deploying Black Kite? So a client makes a decision, they've evaluated, they've made the decision, they're going to work with you. How many people on a cybersecurity team are potentially involved? What does the time look like to deploy and to actually be up and running?
Well, it's actually, you can do it in a day.
Wow.
The first thing you need to understand is what's the vendor ecosystem you want to look at. And you start out with what's their public domain. It's in a spreadsheet. You drop it into our platform. our platform then goes out and it does all the analysis. In about 60 seconds, it'll come back with some initial analysis, but it does the deep dive that can take 2 to 3 hours to do. But you come back and then you have your initial look at all of your vendors. And it has the cyber view, it has the compliance view. But how I use it and how I would use it today if I was a CISO, the first thing I would do is I would look at the financial impact, the probable financial impact, sort on that, look at the ones that have the highest potential for impact to my business. And then there are a couple of things that you can do now to make that, to increase the accuracy, the precision of that particular assessment. One is upload those things I talked about, the policies. Two is put in how much data do you actually share? Do they have access to your internal network? A couple things that you can start tweaking that now you can decide, well, what do you want to do next? So you may already have a platform in place that you're doing third-party risk assessments. Obviously, you're not going to stand up an integration in an hour with us, but you can stand up an integration very quickly. We have some standard and we have APIs that you can pull information in from existing, pass it back to improve that. This is not just something that's one and done. It's not you get a score once and you're done. This is something that once you have that fine-tuned, and is continuously monitoring those vendors, and it's alerting you to any significant changes. So if that financial impact is within your risk appetite, well, you're good. If something happens that shows that now that financial impact flares up, you may want to look at that. If it's above your risk appetite, you may want to put more resources to that. But it basically gives you decision-making information on where to deploy your resources.
So, Bob, before we let you go, we have to touch on COVID-19. It's turned the world upside down. It's changed life for CISOs and cybersecurity teams. They're suddenly supporting huge numbers of remote workers, a lot of reprioritizing. Does security ratings move up the food chain or does it get pushed down? Where do you see that now?
I think it's moved up because that supply chain has become so important during COVID. A lot of folks there, for many reasons, it got interrupted because cyber is making that transition from working on site to working from home. There's more vulnerabilities. I think it has become more important than ever. And just the nature of the industry. 5 years ago, businesses weren't as dependent upon third parties performing critical services. It seems to be the model that more companies are moving towards those third parties to perform those services. So it's more important today than it ever was.
So to close out, Bob, if you have any final word to CISOs who are listening to us today, insofar as security ratings, what would it be?
Well, you may have had a bad experience, and I get that. I understand that. I see it all the time. But there is value to be had if it's done correctly. Do your due diligence. The questions I talked about, look at those and check out the Chamber of Commerce, the guidelines that they put forth that security rating services companies should follow. And there is value. It can help in your day-to-day work with your third parties.
So, Bob, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you can come back on sometime later in the year.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief at Cybercrime Magazine. Visit us on the web at cybercrimemagazine.com. Joining us today was Bob Maley, Chief Security Officer at Black Kite, the only security rating system that gives a complete view of cyber risk across three dimensions: technical, financial, and compliance. To learn more about Black Kite, visit blackkitetech.com.